off sin. In other words, he found out, praise God, and he kept on writing until he got over to the eighth verse, eighth chapter. And he stopped that eighth chapter out. He said that willpower couldn't do it. I have to rely upon Holy Ghost power. And that's when he jumps to that eighth chapter. And he says, there is therefore no more condemnation to them, praise God, that walk after the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
What am I trying to tell us today? We got to give God our bodies.
Yeah.
We got to give God our minds.
Yeah.
And we certainly got to turn this will over to him.
Yeah.
And it is only when we yield the will to God that his power can take over and give us the willpower, praise God, and the want power, praise God, that.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina, Alexandria.
Awesome ruler. Until redeeming.
God with the CA. You are tuned into the spiritual heart of the in an in-depth
but when we put it all together, this is what we'd like to call you. Gina, Jesus.
Let's tune in. That's what as evangelist Ron Bell takes you further
you were born
into the Word
in a
manger,
of God.
Born, on a tree. The title of our lesson today is Representatives of God's Kingdom. We represent the kingdom of God. And as representatives, we have been chosen to act and to make decisions on behalf of God through Jesus Christ, who has delegated and entrusted his authority and power to the church. Right now, what's missing in the church is that the church does not realize fully how important the souls of mankind is to God. It is one of the greatest values to God, and that's souls. Souls, the souls of people, are super important to God. It is the will of God that all would be saved. In Luke 6 and 32, it says, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If we look even before Jesus was sent to this earth, God made all of creation, and he thought that he would make mankind. He thought that he would make mankind in his own image and put them over all of his creation on this earth. And we find that in Genesis 1, 28, 27, and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that move upon the earth. That's part of our assignment. We can see clearly how much God think of mankind from how he made us. He made us in his own image and in his own likeness. And not only that, he told us verbally how he felt about us. And we can find that in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God told us that he loved us. And not just the saved folks, but everybody. He let us know that he loved us, all of mankind. You know, He would that we be saved and that we would spend eternity with him. Therefore, souls of people are important to God because we are his own creation, his own workmanship. Praise the Lord. Everything is that was created in this earth was for his earthly family. I want you to know that, that everything that was created in this earth was for his earthly family to own, to govern, and to take care of. The other part of our assignment is that we should believe on him, believe on Jesus, so that we might have eternal life. My point is that all souls are important to God. He doesn't wish that any should die and be lost, but that all of mankind might repent and be saved. This is what God wishes, that all of mankind would repent and be saved. The second thing that is vital and necessary to God is that his church, we are his great mighty possession. We're his powerful mighty army. We are the army of God, and we're mighty. He made us mighty and powerful just like he is. We have to remember who we are and what God has done for us, so that it will give us power. It will give us strength to do the things that God has called us to do. And he has given us authority and power, you know, over all that he has made to bring all humanity into God's kingdom. This is a huge assignment, but the blood of Jesus, that he has supplied all the tools and the armor and the power that we will need to do this job. And I just want to read to you a few of the things that we have to do, that God has put us to do as his church. And we're going to look at Luke 9 and 1. And it says, "And he called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." Now, what I'm reading is coming out of the ESV translation. And Mark 16, 17, and 18, it says, "And these signs will accompany them who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick." Listen to this. "They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." We need to remember these verses so that we could go back and read them and we can know what our assignments are. Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. "And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And therefore, he said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And in Matthew 10 and 8, he says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. As you receive without paying, then you give without pay." And what the scripture is saying there, if we receive the things of God, and he didn't ask us to pay for anything, then we also are going to have to give those very same things. We're going to have to give them, and we're not going to have to get payment for them. We're not supposed to expect payment. When we teach and preach the word, we're not supposed to have our hand out for payment for doing what we have been called to do. So this is our job, and we have all the armor and all the power that we would need to do this job. And it's in the name of Jesus that all power lies. It's in the name of Jesus. Once we know what the word says, you know, the Holy Spirit will teach us how to utilize the gifts and the power and the authority that has been given to us. We have the Holy Spirit that is our teacher now. When Jesus left and he came, he left this earth. And he was crucified and he left this earth. He said he was going to send the Comforter back. And that Comforter is the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 1, we're going to read verse 24 and verse 30. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We need to know that Christ is the power of God and he is the wisdom of God. He's the actual power that God uses to help us and to do everything that we need done. Jesus is that power. He is that wisdom of God that we need and that we use. And verse 30 says, but of him we are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, listen to this, wisdom, righteousness, salvation, and redemption. That's what he has made unto Jesus, unto us. He has made him to be righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What the scripture is saying is that we have been born again through Jesus, of Jesus Christ, and we are in him. And it further tells us that God made, or he prepared Jesus to be wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption to us. So when we have access to all the power and abilities that Jesus has, because he has delegated his authority and power to us, his church, so that we can bring all the people, you know, that are willing to come into the kingdom. That's our job, saints. We are to bring all the people that are willing to come into the kingdom of God. And we can't allow ourselves to just be concerned with those who may not want to come. The Bible told us that we have to compel people to come. So even though they may not show us any desire to come, we're going to compel them anyway that they could come into the kingdom and be saved. Because deep down in people's heart, I don't believe that they want to be lost. I believe that they want to be saved. And we can compel all of those that we see, all of those that we meet, and most certainly those who we make a point to intercede for in prayer. You know, we pray daily for people to be saved. Our job is to persist in getting souls saved. You know, prayer puts us in a position where we don't have to be present with folks, but we can just simply pray to God and we can ask God to save the souls of the people. Amen. God can do all things. He can fix the hearts. And this is what we need to focus on. God can fix the hearts. He made us. And he can mend those broken hearts. He can turn their hearts. God knows the hearts of mankind. So he knows how to steer into position their thinking in a positive way. He won't control us, but he can reshape our thinking. And you know, we know that the scripture said that God knows our heart, and we can pray, Lord, create in them a clean heart and renew a right spirit within them. We can pray that prayer, and God will answer those prayers. We can make, so that we can make better decisions. They can make better decisions. Now, if we, the Church of God, we are chosen as representatives of God's kingdom so that we are standing and acting in the place of Jesus, that his power and his authority has been given to us, the church, then we should be willing to put all of our power and authority to work every day. This is the will of God. And this is what he has called us to do. And saints, we cannot neglect our job. We have to do the things that we're called to do. you know,